Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Mia Redrick. Known as the Mom Strategist, she is the best-selling author of Time for Mom, Me, Five Essential Strategies for a Mother's Self-Care. Mia and I will be discussing about her life's journey and her goal to empower 1 million moms to practice better self-care by December 31st of this year. Good morning, Mia. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Glad to be here, Johnny.
I'm excited to have you on the radio show. I've talked to you, fortunately, for a couple of times. You have wonderful energy, and your book is wonderful, and it cuts right through the chase. And I tell you one thing, though, from a personal experience, if there is ever anything that mom all over the world share besides their unconditional love for their loved ones, is that if they are unhappy, everybody is in the doghouse. So your book, your message is so important.
That's exactly right.
Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, you know, I always start talking about my life from when I was a little girl. My mother was just a really tremendous figure in my life, and she was a really great mom to me. And it was my mom that really, I believe, gave me so many great tools, Johnny, in mm-hmm. terms of understanding what love is and feeling the ability of being safe to be able to share myself with other people. So I always say to people, you know, my childhood, when I look back, I think, my God, for you to be able to be in an environment where someone always validates you and allows you just to, you know, make your mistakes and learn from them without judgment is a powerful place. Mm-hmm. And it really does change how you look at life, even as, you know, as you become an adult or in college or, you know, as a young adult in junior high school. And so for me, the walk through my life was just that my mom was just always extremely loving and very caring person. She gave a lot to me in terms of motherhood.
That's fascinating. How about sibling-wise? Any rivalry?
Well, yeah, we had some. We had a lot of that. I am one of two children. My brother actually is my younger brother, and we were just very close. We had really great we had a great upbringing with both my mom and my dad. And I think my brother would say also, you know, my mother was a central figure in our development. Mm-hmm. And so it was really interesting. I'll share this story. When I was about 13 years old or so, I remember I was exceptionally small. I was really, really skinny. And so, you know, children would tease me about it, and they would call me Olive Oil. Remember from Popeye?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And and I was really self-conscious about that. And my mother would read my journals, and I had no idea. And see,
oh, my God.
Exactly. And I remember her saying to me, whenever people would say really mean things to me, I would, you know, get up to go to school the next morning, and she'd say, oh, my goodness, it looks to me like, you know, you've picked up a pound or two. Or, you know, and she would always kind of counter whatever that negative feedback I was getting. It was really powerful for me, and it taught me a lot, not only as a child, you know, the importance of that, but also as a parent, the importance of being able to validate your children's, you know, biggest fears and insecurities and redirect them.
Right. Very much so. You see, we're pretty much like the same because my sister is older than I am. But, you know, unlike you guys have a wonderful, loving relationship with you and your brother, I do too, but I terrorize her all the time.
Well, please terrorize. My brother might say that I terrorized him also. I don't recall that.
I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, and God balances the equation because I hate bugs. I'm afraid of bugs, and we live, of course, in Malaysia. And you're talking about we have some of the biggest bugs in the equator. And so, on the other hand, guess what? Who loves bugs? My sister. So that's the equalizer.
Hysterical.
So So she would threaten me, you know, with bugs. I'll put it in your bed and stuff like that. So that's it.
I think my brother would always say, I was always, you know, just a very creative, very innovative kid. And
yeah.
There was a time when we had gotten school photos. Our parents had not yet seen the photos, but gotten them from school. And the show, The Brady Bunch, remember Greg was into photography, and he used
right.
to he had his own darkroom. And I had the bright idea that I could take my brother's photos, not my photos, but his photos, and put them in water and bleach, and that somehow create a dark room in, you know, in our home. Well, you
yeah.
know what happened. All the color from his pictures faded out. Well, we had a lot of experiments like that. And,
oh, man.
Exactly. So yeah, he might say terrorized, but for sure, I was always experimenting with a lot of things.
I see. Likewise, for me, too. I'm always experimenting, that's all. Fast forward a few years, so now you're a mother. What events in your life did you experience that made you realize that you need to take time for me?
Well, I realized when I was 6 months pregnant, actually, my mother actually had this sit-down, serious conversation with me and said, I want you to make sure you make time to date yourself every single week in motherhood. And it was interesting because, like most mothers, when you were 6 months pregnant, the last thing you're thinking about is really dating yourself in motherhood. You don't really know what that is. You're most interested in really painting your nursery or choosing the best baby furniture, you know, that kind of thing. And my mother had gotten lost in motherhood. She had literally given us everything she had, including her preferences, her hobbies. She had everything that she did in motherhood centered around her children. And she didn't want me to make the same mistakes. And so, you know, I took her up on that challenge, and I immediately began to go to different mom groups and interview different mom groups, just like you would interview your pediatrician, and to find the right type of support network for me while I was 6 months pregnant. The powerful piece of that for me, Johnny, and for most moms and for any new moms that are listening, is that once you have your child, you're actually too busy as a new mom to begin to look for support for yourself right away. But because I had already created support for myself while I was pregnant, you know, I had a tremendous amount of resources around me to help me figure out how to nurse, you know, or, you know, how to navigate, you know, the very early issues in motherhood, and not with a whole bunch of new moms, but with the, you know, the seasoned moms who had already been doing it in motherhood. So that's for me what happened. My mother literally made me promise that I would commit to my own self-care when I was 6 months pregnant, and I did. I can honestly say that I've dated myself, made time for myself every single week since I was 6 months pregnant on in motherhood, and it's changed my life.
That's fascinating because she had the foresight to see that, hey, you're going to need this time out for yourself too. So, and that's, again, what's interesting about it is that she's an experiential teacher because she's been there. And
well,
she's
and
teaching
I think it's
you things.
So powerful because she knew for herself that while she knew she was a really great mother, she did not. She knew that there was a cost of motherhood for her. For many women, there is a cost. And if you don't self-connect, really what you share with your children is not all of who you are. Right, because your children don't really get to know your interests, your preferences, your hobbies, and they're not able to connect with their moms, you know, in terms of all of who she is. And my mother really recognized that mistake in her mothering, you know, although it wasn't obvious to me, obviously, you know, as a child.
Right, but she knew herself, so that's fascinating. When did this passion lead you to become a mom strategist and author this best-selling book?
Well, you know, what happened, it was a very organic process for me. What I didn't realize was because I made that time to commit to my self-care by dating myself every single week, whenever I would meet moms, you know, wherever I was, whatever mom group I was a part of, moms always had questions for me, like, when did you find time to read that book? Something really simple. Or it might be, oh, my God, you know, you are always making time for, you know, your hobbies. I literally have always had hobbies that I pursue, you know, out loud. And right. so moms were always really interested in sort of my life stuff. How was I actually able to find the time to implement the things that were important to me? And yet, also, they could see I was a contact mom and wife. You know, I was very much a part, I'm very much active in my children's lives and, mm-hmm. You know, and growing my family life as well. So it wasn't that, you know, I was away from my family and I didn't nurture their needs. I was nurturing, you know, dating myself, dating my spouse, and also dating my children, you know, individually. So,
mm-hmm.
and that's really where it came from. I mean, it was I just listened to what people would say to me all the time, whether I was in the grocery store or whether I was at a mom's group. It did not matter. And it was again and again, people wanted me to tell them, how are you able to do that? And so I literally thought, well, let me just write down the benefits of me having dated myself all this time and how I think it might be able to impact some other mothers so that they, too, you know, could improve their own self-care, because I know it makes you a better mother. I know it makes you clearer and able to love deeper. You're able to love your family more.
Mm-hmm.
My husband always would say to me, and I have a chapter and a section in my book where I say, I'm ready to love again, because whenever I would self-date, and I would come back home from, you know, Barnes & Noble mm-hmm, bookstore or whatever, mm-hmm. he'd always say, you're ready to love again. And, you know, you can interpret your own meaning. But when
right.
we do get away from our families, even if it's just 20 minutes to self-connect, you are able to appreciate and process more of what you really have in your life.
Very interesting. I have a statistic here to share with you. According to the National Survey, 67% of mothers said that it is important for them to take care of themselves, as well as, obviously, their families. So why do you think most mothers don't do this?
Because of mommy guilt. So most moms are plagued, or all moms at some point are plagued with mommy guilt. So, you know, families, I think families are sort of like businesses that never shut down. You know, you're always on. You can always be on as a mom. You can always find something to do to, you know, operate your family, right? There's always something mm-hmm. to clean. There's always someone that needs something. And so it's mommy guilt. It's really when moms think about themselves and they look at all of these other things that have to happen in their home all the time, they feel guilty for taking any time to think about themselves, or consider their own needs. And that's exactly what, right. I mean, most moms know that they need to have some time to themselves. The issue is that they feel guilty and they feel selfish when they do make that time to self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to moms, you know, one of the ways to think about taking time for yourself is that not giving all of who you are, that's really what is selfish. It's not, you know, making 15 minutes consistently, you know, to meditate at home that makes you selfish. Not at all. In fact, being self-connected allows you to listen to that Barney story and really mm-hmm. listen to it. You know what I mean? And really, and instead of thinking about something else and on this list of things that you need to do because
right.
you haven't taken time to decompress and be present in the lives of your family.
Well, self-love is not selfish.
No.
People misunderstood that because I think it's okay. like unconditional love. Unconditional love does not mean unconditional acceptance. It's two different things. And then so when you practice self-love, you have to recharge yourself so that it's what you give that's the difference. So you're talking about self-love first so that you are fully charged and then you can go back into the family, your group, so to speak, and then you are able to give your all. You can pay attention, you can be focused, and be in the present moment.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny because the more you connect with yourself, the more you're able to share who you are with your family. I'll give you a simple example.
Mm-hmm.
I like to hike, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so my children, they like to hike also. And they think they like to hike. They think we go hiking because they like to hike. Well,
mm-hmm.
the truth of the matter is they only like to hike because I love to hike.
Right.
So I'm always looking for opportunities to share who I am with my children. And
right.
the same thing is, you know, if in fact in our family we have something called deer time, and that mm-hmm. stands for drop everything and read. Well,
mm-hmm.
in our family that means that we're going to all be in the same room, okay, but we're going to self-care, meaning I'm going to read a book that I enjoy. My six-year-old is going to read a story that he enjoys. My 9-year-old is going to do the same, and my 12-year-old, as well as my husband, is going to probably read his
mm-hmm.
Newsweek or his time. We've created a culture in our family that allows us to be together, but for everyone to understand that we can be in the same space and we can still pursue the things that are important to us, you know, and by making that time, creating a culture in your family that says, you know, it's okay to want to read a story. Like, it's all right not to have to be engaged with one another every single minute of the day. In fact, we can be together and still pursue things that are individually important to each of us. They're very important in terms of, you know, setting up a culture for you in your family. And, you know, you had said, your question was, you know, why do you think people don't do it? I think it's because of guilt, right? And I think it's because we think it's selfish. And I also think it's because we don't have the strategies to know how to incorporate self-care into our lives. Because when we enter motherhood, it's a busy time. And most of us kind of hit the ground and we keep running. And we don't have that time to then kind of reflect and say, okay, now how do I create a routine here so I can have less stress, right, and enjoy more of my day? We just don't enter motherhood that way. And so the strategies that I talk about in my book, I literally show moms that, you know, you don't need large portions of time in order for you to make make me time important. You just need small moments. We're just going to look at where you're living your life already and look at how we can bring you into your life.
What's the biggest excuse you hear from moms regarding them not having time for themselves?
I think the biggest excuse is that they have too many responsibilities in order to make time. You know, sort of like everyone needs me, and yet I show, and I've shown thousands of moms exactly how you can find time for yourself every single day. And so let me give you some simple examples.
Sure.
One would be carpool, okay? What mom isn't doing carpool? You know, if you have a school-age child, you do carpool at least two times a day. Well, I encourage moms to, you know, pack a bag for you in your car that are things that you naturally enjoy. And so while you're waiting that 12 to 15 minutes for your child to come out from carpool, you know, that carpool line, that you can listen to a book on tape for you. You could balance your calendar and plan, you know, plan for you. So you could, you know, make sure you have a book that you want to read. Maybe you bring your journal and you pack it. We all need to pack the tools that we need in order to self-care right there. Make taking care of yourself easy. Another thing that I love for moms to do is when we sign our children up for extracurricular activities. I encourage moms to, when you're planning something for your children, I want you to look at what you can do for you while you're doing something for someone else, okay? This is a really key strategy. Simple thing. For me, I wear the Skechers Shape-Up. I love them, okay? And everywhere I go. And so I will say to my children, I'm like, Mom, you know, can you take me out, you know, to ride my bike? Or maybe they want to go on a walk. Well, I'm thinking fitness for me while I'm doing something for them, right? We're going to walk, we're going to talk. But I'm always looking at how I'm going to bring what I need to do in terms of my own fitness or my own goals for that moment into whatever I'm doing for my children, okay? If I'm going to watch my children ride their bikes up and down the street, I might bring my jump rope out. I may jump instead of just kind of sitting there. I'm going to always look at simple ways that I can incorporate my goals. I'm training for a triathlon, so most of my examples at this point in my life relate to fitness because I'm always thinking of how I can, you know, how I can get another level of exercise in that day. But it's the simple things. It's not making taking care of yourself hard. If you sign your child up for an extracurricular activity, you might look for the curves that's across the street. You might look at, there might be a tea shop that you could go to, and maybe for the first 20 minutes of the 60-minute class, you go and have a nice cup of chamomile tea just to decompress, to have a moment for yourself. So it's just looking at simple ways to be consistent, and over time when you do it enough, you find that you're more reflective and you're clear and you make better choices, even for the family members, even for your children, even for your spouse, about, you know, how what is the best direction for your family. When you're on go all the time and you never pause or decompress, often you kind of live life by default. You know, the kids come home with the flyer and they say, Mom, I want to play lacrosse. And you say, okay, right? Or better yet, a better example would be, most moms do this, the flyer comes in the mail to you, and you then ask the kids, would you like to play lacrosse?
Okay? Right.
And in our family, we say, we have a rule, which is express yourself. When children really want to do something, they remember it, and they
right.
will ask you over and over again. And today, moms are not just multitasking, Johnny. They
mm-hmm.
are megatasking. They have too much on their plates, and although many of us want to find time for ourselves, it's the choices that we make by default, that those fillers in your day, that
mm-hmm.
prevent us from being able to, you know, to add another thing. We feel like if I put another thing on my schedule, meaning me, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just going to tip over.
Right. It's very true, though. What are the 5 essential strategies for mother's self-care?
So, you know, in my book, Time for Mom,
mm-hmm.
Me, 5 Essential Strategies for Mother's Self-Care, I highlight 5 essential things that every single mom I know needs to do in order to self-care. And the first is finding time. You know, moms always say that there is no time, which is what we've been talking about this entire time, for themselves. And yet, there is time. The challenge is that most of us don't know how to appropriate the time, how to find the time, or how to redirect the time, or how to plan time for ourselves in our lives. So one of the strategies is on finding time. Another strategy is personal growth. And personal growth is so important in motherhood. And the way that I define personal growth, Johnny, is
mm-hmm.
personal growth is being more of who you are. It's not anyone else's, you know, set of rules or goals for you. It's just understanding that you, for yourself, you've made a decision that you want more of you. You
mm-hmm.
want to live fully. You know, it might be that, you know, I want to be healthier. And personal growth for you means that, you know, you're going to have more fruit today, and tomorrow you're going to have more fruit and then more water. And then the next day, and you just begin to add on. So that's how we change our lives. People think that in order to personally grow, you have to change a lot of things over the long haul. That's not really what happens. It's small
mm-hmm.
changes. It's really being consistent about small changes that end up changing your life and changing your habits. So personal growth is one of my favorite chapters and favorite subjects for moms.
You have to start right there, too, because what happens is that that's part of self-love. Because
yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Don't start with yourself and self-actualization, you know, it's me, I'm important, then you can't go any further, isn't it?
And well, that's exactly right. And, you know, if you don't know what's important to you, then how do you build a support system that validates that for you? So getting moms to understand that your personal growth is essential to building your own support system. You
mm-hmm.
see, the moment that you say, this is what my goal is, okay, my goal is to go back to school, and, you know, what does that look like? It means that 2 days a week, you know, I'm going to be taking classes. Then you can begin to ask questions what kind of support you need in your life. You might have to say to your spouse, can you pick the children up at this time, right? Because I'm
mm-hmm.
going to be studying this time. You might have to say to your children, we're all going to be studying at the same time. And so we need to, you know, I want this type of environment from this time to that time to make sure that we all are studying. So it's the moment that you have determined sort of what those personal growth goals are that you're able to really begin to build the support that you need around it. And
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we think the opposite thing. It's sort of like, you know, you might be thinking about what you want to do and you haven't taken the action toward it and you can't figure out how you're going to find the time. You're never going to know what it is until you begin to take small steps. And then each bit of the way, you begin to ask questions about, what do I need? What does good support look like for me here? You know, how can I make this easier for, you know, for me to complete this, you know, and
mm-hmm.
effortless? And those types of questions over and over again, you'd be surprised. They're powerful questions. They're easy questions. But if you tell people in your life what you need, you can be supported. The issue is that we often don't know what we need because we're afraid, because we don't have all the answers, you know,
right.
when we first decide to do something, and we're afraid to take that leap. But you have to take the leap. You have to take the leap. And you'll see, you know, in that chapter, I talk a great deal about personal growth. It is essential. If I told you right now that I know exactly how I'm going to bike, swim, and run this race in August, it's just not true. I'm just breaking small parts of this goal down, you know, incrementally, you know, including swim lessons and, you know, and then biking a couple of times a week. And it's coming together. And you'll never know for any goal that you're working on or as you're personally growing all of the answers along the way. So understand that. Accept that. Just take a small step. And as you grow your life, begin to ask yourself, what's the easiest way for me to do this? Who in my life might be here to help me? How can I, you know, how can I get the support that I need? What would make this, you know, who else has done this in my life that I might be able to speak with that can mentor me? So those are the kind of things that I talk about in the personal growth chapter, which, you know, is my favorite. Finding meaning is another chapter that I love, because often moms don't understand that your life has to have meaning, okay? So when we think about, you know, how much we love our children, okay, and how much we want them to feel good about their lives, right? Most moms do process that. We say to our children often that I want you to feel good about it. You should feel confident about this, or, you know, this experience or that experience. Well, let's take our own advice. And the same is true, you know, the same is true for moms out there, that your life should have a significant amount of meaning. It should be a life that you feel proud of, that you feel good about. And there should be things in your life that show up every day, every week, that make you say, you know what, I feel good about this. And that does not necessarily just relate to doing something for someone else. It may relate to you doing something to enhance your own life, because when we do that, we do feel better about ourselves. It's like losing 5 pounds, right? When you lose 5 pounds, you stand in the mirror, you look at yourself, you think, okay, I did it. I feel pretty good about that.
Right.
It's creating pockets of those types of experiences throughout your life, and that can be through your hobbies, and that can be, you know, through any kind of relationships that you enhance, maybe, you know, developing friendships that are supportive and nurturing. Maybe it's, you know, being part of a mastermind with a bunch of women who have now decided, I want to start a business, and none of you know what you're going to do yet, but being in that group makes you feel good. It makes you feel excited about the life that you're in, and instead of sort of the, you know, ho-hum, well, this is how it's going to be until, you know, they go off to college. It does not have to be that way. Life is juicy. You know, let's experience it, and you can experience it every day. You can experience it every single day.
And then also it gives you an opportunity to add value to not only yourself, to others, as you find meaning that adds value to you, because a teacher learns more when he or she teaches than as a student.
Oh, absolutely. And there are gifts that come along the way. You know, I always say, every time I do one of these, like 5Ks or 10K races, I always end up meeting someone that I didn't already meet, right? Doesn't matter if in state or out of state, that I really like. And so it makes sense. If you do the things that you love to do, okay, you do the things that have value to you, you're going to connect with like-minded people, okay? And so a lot of times what we're trying to do is in our neighborhoods, we're trying to kind of fit the people that are there, or maybe even in your local mom's group, you're trying to fit those people into your life because it's convenient. What I'm saying is, you know, take a minute and think about what you really love to do and begin doing that, and you will immediately begin to connect with people and other resources that are aligned with your highest values. And you'll enjoy it. It'll be easy for you. It won't be hard, you know. And if you've ever said, you know, in the company, I wish I had a friend that liked to ... whatever it is, go and be that. Go and do that. And I'll tell you a great example for, I have a philosophy in motherhood where I, in my dating myself, I would always plan my dates in advance for me, okay? So what that meant or what that looked like is that I would buy a, I love to listen to speakers, so I would buy a season ticket for me to go and hear, you know, different people that were coming to town as part of a speaker series and hear them. And for years, for like 2 years, I went alone. So, you know, I literally just bought one seat and, you know, I'd go, and it was great. It was a lecture series, and I'd go, and I'd love it, and I heard Maya Angelou, and I heard some really, really groovy, cool people. Well, as luck would have it, right, because I'm doing what I love to do, and whenever we would have the breaks in the lobby, I would always meet these people in my community who were there also, okay? And so naturally, they then said, hey, maybe next year, you know, we could sit together. Well, that's great. Well, that was how I was able to bridge that connection. And turns out, two of the ladies ended up being really great friends of mine. Well, I would not have connected with them. I didn't even know that they were interested in that had I not, you know, taken the step to pursue what I really love. You understand?
Yeah.
But they were
there
all along with the exact same interests and totally aligned according to we love to hear the same kinds of things. So I'm just encouraging mom in that chapter to really pursue what you love to do, and you will find that you will immediately begin to connect already with people who are just like that, and it just it fuels itself, and it you find one area of your life that begins to have meaning, and it translates literally to every single area of your life.
Well, it energizes you, and we are all about energy. So when your energy goes up, guess what? Everything around you get energized.
Why, absolutely. And I'll give you a great example. When I made the decision that I wanted to do the triathlon, right, I said, what would be really cool, Johnny, if I could have a team of moms to do this with. I was thinking five mothers, okay? And so I put it out there in the universe. I wasn't sure who would be interested. I literally put it on Facebook, and I had 22 moms on my team. I have 22 moms now who we are training together and been training. And I will tell you, I only knew three of them, the rest of these moms. Exactly. And this is what I'm sharing it with you because this is exactly what I'm saying, is that if you go and pursue, take that step, something that you love, you will begin to connect with people who like what you like. And instead of not doing what you really love to do, if you like to golf, go golf. You know, if sewing is your thing, so if you want to go back to school, do it. And you will find, you will begin immediately to connect with people just like that in your circle. And it will make your life more meaningful. You'll feel really good about the skin that you're in. You know, we would never tell our children if they said, you know, my friendships aren't working, I'm not feeling fulfilled in my friendship. We would never tell them, work it out. We would tell them instead, find some new friends, get some new hobbies. That's what we would tell our children. And so it's time that moms take their own advice.
Yeah. One of the things also, Mia, that I detect from all of these, that what you have said, which is very interesting, and coming back to what I mentioned just now about energy, I am envisioning if you have that bad energy, if you live what my mom would call underneath a coconut shell. And guess what? Everybody around you is picking up the negative energy. Or
oh,
the not-so-strong energy, or whatever you want to call it. But if you're coming home every day, you're charged up, you're fired up, you are the sun in the sun kiss, you know, it changes the dynamics of the whole family.
Well, it does. And, you know, motherhood is tough, okay? So, like for most mothers, not all of us every day. Some days are harder than other days. So I get that. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you have certain components in your life that do have meaning and value to you so that you can have a release. And so, you know, when you hear about moms being so stressed out, well, at some point in motherhood, life is stressful. It is. It just depends on the ages of your children, you know, whether or not they are able to nurse or not, whether or not they're having temper tantrums every time you put them in the, you know, in the car or wherever, or you take them in the mall. Those things are stressful. And so that's why it's so important, even more so for moms to build into their lives themselves and ways to relieve that stress in a positive way and in a consistent and deliberate way. I always say, you know, moms live a life of many moms, quiet desperation. So here it is. You know that there's more you want in your life. You're not really sure how to get it. You're not sure where to get it. And no one around you really, I mean, even though you may have a lot of people in your circle, really know how you really feel. Because a lot of moms feel like, you know, who am I to complain? Are you kidding me? You know, look at this home that I live in. You know, look at how healthy my children are. Why should I feel sad or disappointed about my life? Who am I to complain? you know. So what I'm going to challenge you guys out there to do is let's do something about it. If that's you, then what I want you to do is just write down right now one thing that you really love to do or loved to do if you haven't been doing it for a long time, and do it. Set a date to do it. And let's say you're struggling out there, and some people say to me often, you know what, Mia, I haven't danced with myself in so long. I don't know what I want to do. So this is what I want you guys to do. I want you to pull out a piece of paper, set the clock for timer for 2 minutes, and divide your life into thirds. So, for example, if you're 30 years old, 0 to 10, 10 to 20 years, and 20 to 30 years old. And during that period of time, I want you to write down only the things that you can remember during that period of time that either someone said about you that was really positive, awards that you received, things that you really love to do. Because often we become very disconnected as mothers with the busyness, and we forget that we actually used to paint really well, that we actually were the star on the track team. All of these things that we haven't been doing for like the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years in motherhood, we've forgotten about them, but they're still there. So I just want you to set the timer and power right. And literally just write down the positive things that you remember about your life during that period of time. And then choose something off of that list that you begin to say, I'm going to take an action, one action, and pursue one of these things. That's it. Okay?
That's fantastic. Right. That's wonderful. Now, one of the things you talk about in the self-care strategies in your book is blending. Please explain to us how blending works so well and give us some examples about blending activities, because this is pulling everybody else in.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect. So, you know, in my chapter, Finding Solutions, in the book, I talk about blending. Now, blending for most moms has, you know, it will save your life. So blending, you know, I always say in motherhood, the way to make sure you always take care of yourself, and I mentioned a little bit earlier, is whenever you are doing something for your someone in your family, you're going to always be thinking, how can I do something for me while I'm doing something for someone else? That's what you're going to ask yourself. It's almost like your mommy mantra, okay? And I ask myself this all the time. So let me give you some examples. I always say, as moms, we have these activities that I call contribution activities. Mm-hmm. Now, contribution activities are things that we have to do in motherhood. There's no getting around it, okay? So I'll list a couple of those. That might be nursing, okay? It might be, you know, you're cooking meals for your children, you know, and your partner every day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You are giving kids baths. You're doing carpool, okay? You're doing extracurricular activities. And the list goes on and on, right? We've got laundry. Mm-hmm. We've got all of these things that we know in order for our families to go, we have to do these things. Now, at the end of the day, these are also a contribution activity or activities that no one will come home and ever say, oh, my goodness, that's wonderful. How many times did you nurse today? Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to come up, all right? But it's something that takes up a good deal of time. What I get moms to do is write down your contribution activities, things that you are doing every single day for your family, and you put them on a calendar. And then the second part is, I want you to ask yourself, while I'm doing this contribution activity, how can I do something for me while I'm serving someone in my family? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, great example might be, okay, if it's nursing, for example, for me, I love to read. So I would always do audiobooks whenever I was nursing, okay, because it takes up a good deal of time in a day, and so it allowed me to, you know, listen to an audiobook, right?
Right.
But, you know, for someone else, it might be something else. Or when I'm giving my kids a bath, for example, I love Lionel Richie music. I always say I'm Lionel Richie's biggest fan. So, so I would always play, you know, Lionel Richie music because I really love it. I mean, I just absolutely love it. It's a mood changer for me. And
right.
I would always play Lionel Richie music in the background, so you know, the kids are singing along. But I'm always thinking how I'm going to bring me into my life. And so self-care to me is about incorporating you into your life every single day. And sometimes I talk to moms who say to me, you know, they go days and weeks and months where they've never done anything for themselves. And I tell them, I do something for myself all the time, every day, all the time, because I make self-care easy while I do the dishes. I love candles, so I usually light candles. Right, you know, in the window, right in front of my sink in the kitchen. Why? Because I love it. I have moments each and every place, you know, in my house where I spend my time. So it allows me to, you know, to be with me and to self-care, you know, and I make it very easy for myself. So, you know, that's what I would share with moms. Blending is about looking at your contribution activities, right, and then also identifying specifically one or two things that you can do while you're doing something for someone else, that activity for yourself. What could you do? So as an extracurricular activity, I want you, when you're signing your children up, I want you, when you drop your kids off there or when you go there, just to look around. Take a minute and see what other resources are right there within 1 to 2 minutes of where you already are, where you could incorporate self-care into your life so that you don't go, you know, days, weeks, and months without doing anything for yourself. And in fact, you'll begin to look forward to, you know, all of these really tremendous opportunities to be able to take, you know, take time out for your own life.
It becomes a routine, the way you have done it, the way you blended it in. It was beautiful because it becomes a routine and you don't even think about it. It's not like a scheduled chore.
No, it's not. It's a part of my life. Just like it's just like whenever I am doing something for the children, I automatically know what I'm going to do for me. Now, here's the tip. If you want to get consistent at it, I always say, and I mention this in my book, 15 minutes, take 15 minutes the night before and plan how you're going to self-care for yourself. So how are you going to incorporate self-care in your life? Just like we plan every single thing in our lives, right? Most moms have the sort of the mommy calendar on the fridge, all right? And so we know every place we need to be. We know what homework assignments are due and when they're due by. Well, the only thing that's missing on that calendar, we've forgotten to put ourselves on the calendar, okay?
Right.
We're not on that calendar. So you've got to, you look at those activities, you already know what they are, and now you need to start asking yourself the question, what could I do for me while I'm doing something for them, right?
Right.
And then, and you just plan it in. If you don't plan, I always say, if you don't plan, it's impossible to do it. There's a strategy that whenever moms say, you know, there's no time for me, I always say, there is. You have to dip, right? You have to dip and blend, right? So DIP means, it's an acronym for D-I-P-P, and it stands for, you got to delegate something to someone if you ever want to find time for your life. So you've got to, you've got to delegate something. It might be that you're asking your children to help out with, you know, to actually do their chores or to make their beds. And all of these little things start to add up. It might be that you're beginning to, you're delegating maybe something to your husband. And there's a language that I always like to use to get spouses involved, which is, because it's so important, right? Because we all want to know what's the secret to getting your spouse to say, I'll help you, all right?
And you're sleeping on the couch, honey, tonight. You're sleeping on the couch, okay? You got that? That's your bed right there.
Well, what I always say is I like to use sort of the two example, right? So I give my husband two scenarios. I'll say, you know, would you like to do baths or clean the dishes? Right. So the choice really isn't none of these things. Would you like to do this or would you like to do that, right? And then usually he will choose whatever he wants. The other thing in terms of negotiating with your spouse is the understanding the importance of finding out what they naturally enjoy doing. So I meet moms all the time and they say to me, well, you know, he really is a great cook, but I feel like I should prepare the dinner. Well, I say, he really likes to cook. Maybe let him do that, right? Because that's help that we're not taking on, right? That's support that we can embrace, and then you can then fill that time by doing something else, right? So find out what your spouse likes to do, and then give them, you know, use languaging that says, would you like to do this or would you like to do that? Which one of these would work for you? And begin to language that so that your spouse understands that there are choices, right, because there are, okay? But which one of these things? Because all of these things have to happen. And, you know, people will help you if you ask them consistently over time. The challenge is that with most women, with most moms, is that we want it done a certain way. We want it done our way. And so if it's not done our way, sometimes we will the validation that the person that's helping you get isn't supportive, right? It is not an environment that makes someone say, hey, I want to help you.
Right.
You know, sort of like he made dinner, and it's like, well, you didn't do it my way. Well, it's okay. Right. You've got to kind of embrace embrace it being different and accept the help. So you got to delegate, right? You've got to incorporate others in your space. That's the I in DIP.
But one of the things also, though, you got to do it in a planning stage, because when you get to that point where you haven't decompressed, then you are speaking from anxiety.
Anger, yeah.
Right. And so what happens is that it's not what you say, it's how you say things. But if you plan ahead of time, then it's a totally different tone.
Oh, it completely is.
It's a we thing.
Why.
It's
that's
a we
exactly
thing versus
right.
a you thing.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The I is incorporating others in your space, right? So I am a big proponent on looking at how you can, if you can, outsource something in your life. So outsourcing for moms means maybe once a month you contract a laundry service to come and do your laundry, right? It's like $65. They come in, they take all the laundry that you haven't done, they wash, they fold it, they shrink wrap it, and they send it back. Big time saver. Maybe it's that you get a cleaning service to come once every 3 months, and then once every 2 weeks, or once a month, that comes in that helps you out. Maybe it's that you get, during the summer, you get a 13-year-old that can't work, right, you know, legally work anyway, that would love to hang out with you during the summer, and you get, you pay that, you know, that young person to read stories to your children for 1 hour. Or to play with them in the backyard so that you can have sort of someone that's a little bit more mature than sort of your toddlers, you know, if you have young children. But also, it gives you a minute to decompress. So you're right there, and you're observing everything that's going on, but, you know, you have another set of hands. I believe in incorporating others in your space. I have totally used this strategy when I've taken my children to the movies in the summer. And if your children are like mine, they never have to go to the bathroom at the same time, okay?
Right.
And so, you know, and I so look for ways to make your life easy. The P is plan. I mentioned that earlier. Take time. If you want to find time, you've got to plan it into your life. There's no way. If you don't plan you in your life, you're not going to do something for you consistently. And the last P, one of my favorites, purge. Get rid of the unnecessary. You know, in our case, it was baseball. A couple years ago, we were driving my son all across America to play baseball, and I looked at him one day from the stands, and I thought, is he out there watching birds? I think he is. He was totally watching the birds, and here it is. We couldn't have dinner because of the games and practices 3 to 4 days a week, right? Big commitment, and he wasn't vested. Hey, you know, make sure that the activities that you pick for your families are activities that really make sense for the family, you know? So there's a lot of ways to build quality. I'm all about getting kids to, you know, to participate in activities, but make sure it's something that they really, really, really want to do before, you know, you shift out, you know, sort of the entire family, you know, and your family culture to support something that maybe isn't as important right now.
Very true. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Okay, so my, thanks for asking. My website, yeah, I have a couple, www.findingdefinitions.com, findingdefinitions.com, and there you'll find all kinds of coaching resources or self-care articles that'll help moms. And then I also have a support community for moms, which is www.time, T-I-M-E, for F-O-R, mom, M-O-M, -me.com. So time for mom, -me.com. And that's my social network for moms. I encourage you to go on to Time for Mommy, set up a profile, tell us what kind of mom you are, meaning, you know, what's your demographic of motherhood? Do you want to connect with WAMs or SAMs, or are you a working mom or you're a homeschooler? We want to hear, you know, from you, and we like to get moms to connect based on, you know, your demographics of motherhood there. So, and you can get my book on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. So pretty easy. Time for Mom, Me, 5 Essential Strategies for Mother's Self-Care.
It is a fantastic book, a wonderful workbook within the book itself. Got some wonderful stories, and that brings me to the fact that I do want to ask you to share with us some of the success stories of people that have actually used your strategies, have implemented them, and were very successful and very, very satisfied with their life.
Well, you know, it's been amazing. A lot of the moms that read my book are encouraged to start Time for Mommy groups. So we have 75 Time for Mommy groups in 9 different states. And the way our Time for Mommy groups work are moms that read my book will they get a online toolkit, and they run a book club essentially for 6 weeks. And in that online toolkit, for each week, there's an assignment to get you to take an action for yourself, okay, that relates to whether it's finding time, finding meaning, finding connection, your personal growth, or your blueprint of motherhood, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the book works. Now, in terms of the success stories, we have tons of them. So sometimes moms come to me because they are looking to, we would say, get your groove back, right? So you've been mm-hmm. doing this motherhood thing. You might be working professionally. You might be a stay-at-home mom. But what you're doing isn't fulfilling to you, or it's just not what you want to do. And so I have tons of moms. I'll tell you one example. Mm-hmm. I had a mom who came to me who was working at IBM as a consultant, and she was doing quite well, but it wasn't fulfilling for her, and she wanted to go into photography, wanted to start a business, and at that time, she was actually thinking of another business, and one of the things that I shared with her, I like to get moms to tell me how you live your life, like what do you naturally do just for fun, because sometimes there are like these businesses inside of our hobbies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that this woman did was she took literally every weekend about 2,000 photos just for fun, just like,
wow.
You know? And, you know, and I struggle to take, I don't know if I've taken 2,000 photos, like, in 12 years as a kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it was her brilliance, okay? And so we built a business around her hobby, which were photography. And her first year, she made $90,000. And
wow.
Now she is a full-time photographer, transitioned out of her consulting work mm-hmm. at IBM, and it's all based on her brilliance. So great mm-hmm. example. I have another mom who's a therapist, and she's a mother of twins, and she was recently divorced. And so she really wanted to, you know, she had experienced a tremendous loss in her life, she thought. Mm-hmm. And so she was really just trying hard not to make any mistakes. You know what I mean? Sort of holding
mm-hmm.
on to. And so we literally created personal systems in her life so that she could experience success. She had twins. They're young. They're now 18 months old. She and I started coaching together when she was about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were about 3 months old. And so what she really needed were systems, you know, easy systems so that she could, when she got off from work, she could play with the kids in ways that were simple. And I'll give you an example. So she had the toys she would buy that
mm-hmm.
to play with the kids, they were just too complicated. You know, for someone that was working 60 hours a week, and then she'd come home, and she'd put a tremendous amount of demand and
mm-hmm.
pressure on herself to be sort of a better mom because she felt like she was filling a void. And
mm-hmm.
so literally, I helped her to understand the power of doing less, right? So
mm-hmm.
doing less well is often, it allows us to be available emotionally in a bigger way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at it in many different areas in her life on how she's going to do less well, really, because she's got these twins. So she doesn't
mm-hmm.
need to make complicated meals. She needs to do less well. She doesn't need to have to clean her house up all the time because, you know, the entire house. So we're gonna have them play in one area because it's just her right now. And
mm-hmm.
when you have twins that are moving one to the right and one to the left, it becomes really difficult to keep your house organized, you know,
mm-hmm.
each room if they're all over the place, right?
So
right. literally we worked on simplicity for her. And I can tell you that just taking one area of her life at a time and changing it has been just given a tremendous amount of peace and confidence because
mm-hmm.
she had been shattered. You know, a lot of times when you go through a divorce, you,
mm-hmm.
you feel emotionally really very broken. And so it was great. I have another client who, and I love her, okay, her goal was
mm-hmm.
to write a book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I helped her, you know, find an easy way for her to write her story. And literally she created a candle line, both a candle line and her and a cookie line out of her book product. So people come to me for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes they want to create
mm-hmm.
a business, and other times they want a transition or they want some direction or structure in their own lives via coaching.
Right.
And that's what I show them how to do. And sometimes it's individual coaching, sometimes it's group coaching, and
right.
sometimes it's using the Time for Mommy groups and creating your own community, you know, mm-hmm. like-minded community that we were talking mm-hmm. about earlier, that
right.
allow people to talk about the most common issues that are preventing them from finding time for themselves and healing their own lives.
And that's how your Time for Mom groups helped you to achieve your goal this year, right? Because you are looking at empowering 1 million moms to practice
absolutely
better self-care.
Absolutely. And you know, in this year we have two corporate sponsors who have, well, I should say partners who have joined in. One is Panera Bread. We've launched Time for Mommy groups in many Panera Bread stores. And so I'm excited about that. And then the second launch is with Great Harvest Bread Company in their stores as well. So I'm really excited about, you know, just the fact that everyone's realizing the importance and validating the importance of moms taking time for themselves. And we're excited. The Panera launch kicked off last month. And essentially what we're providing moms, they're getting a complimentary copy of my book, Time for Mommy. And Panera is rewarding moms with food treats when they meet for 6 weeks to follow the six-week online course that I mentioned earlier for the Time for Mommy program. And it is a training program where there are videos that are provided for moms as well as worksheets. But it's a guided process to get moms to make time for their own lives. We do all the work. You bring the moms, and I'll give you the system. So that's my goal.
Fantastic. How has writing this book impacted you personally?
You know, I think writing this book has been, you know, how you always say you can have a dream beyond anything you could ever ask or think. So my only goal when I wrote it initially was just to share what, you know, the gift that I say my mother gave me. She gave me the gift of self-care. And I entered motherhood that way, and I wanted to give that gift to other mothers. And to really see the lives, you know, of moms changing, it's amazing. And I know that, and I knew that it would change because I understood in my own life that you can self-actualize if you're reflective, right? If you're able to meditate and be clear and enter your day in that space, of course you're going to be a great mom. Of course you're going to make better decisions. Of course you're going to love the life that you're in. So it's really touched me tremendously to watch, you know, the moms that have used the program, that have loved it, and, you know, and that are forming friendships and communities that are making them stronger. And I think more importantly, my philosophy is that, you know, every mom is the expert of her own life. You know, so this mom's taking on the leadership roles and being the Time for Mommy host, to me, is powerful. So that's how it's impacted me the most.
Fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
You know, my recipe for living is, my mantra is live fully, okay? And so every time I generally sign a note to moms, I usually write live fully. So my recipe is every single thing that you do in your life, ask yourself, you know, am I living fully? Or how can I live fully? So let's say, you know, you are taking your children to school. Ask yourself, how can I live or experience this in a fuller way, in a better way? It's a really simple question, but answering that question is a powerful question. It'll allow you to live your life in a, you know, in a bigger way, and it'll allow you to add rich experiences for yourself. So if you were to look at your friendships and you could say, how can I make these friendships fuller? How can I live out fuller? What kind of, you know, what kind of support for me would allow me to live in a higher, be the highest and best use of my time? So that is my mantra. I mean, it's a simple recipe, but for me, it is really what has guided me. It's one of my guiding principles, how I enter my day. I believe we all have every single thing that we need in our lives to have a great life. Okay, but the question is, you've got to ask yourself the right question. And for me, the right question has been, how can I live fully each and every day and through each and every moment? I mean, sometimes, you know, motherhood can be tough. And when you have those tough moments of being overwhelmed, ask yourself, just stop in that moment and say, how can I experience this moment in a more fuller and better way? Okay, and that might be the toddler's having a temper tantrum, right? And you then write a note about it, and you say, okay, he's going to have a temper tantrum for the next, 6 months? All right, that's fine. But what can I do? What systems can I put in place in my life so that when this is happening, this is my response to this situation?
Fantastic. Oh, yes, that's fantastic. Thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Adrienne Ashley. She has a classic American success story to share with all of us. From a high school dropout raised by a single mom on welfare, Adrienne realized that personal success is well within her own self. Today, she has built an empire with companies as varied as 21st Century Pictures, Chick Lit Media Group, and Wow It's Me. Adrienne and I will be discussing about her life's journey and her current endeavor in transforming everyday entrepreneurs into successful business celebrities with her Wow It's Me concept. For additional information about this show, future shows, and to receive a free recipe for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Mia, thank you again and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.